Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this week, we've got Mac Mulligan from Baker's Narrows Lodge up on Lake Athapapascow, northwest Manitoba, famed lake trout country, but just big fish country, way up about as far as the road will take you up north. And we have a super fun conversation this week. We're going to talk lake trout, first ice. First, we're going to get to know Mac Mulligan a little bit more. Super fun, sort of a developing, a blossoming career, if you will. Mac's a young guy, but I tell you what, his experience, you know, is really fantastic. He spends a lot of time on the water, and he's a very, very nuanced angler. So it's a very fun conversation when we really get into, you know, kind of the patterns and the technical side of things. Mac has a ton of experience catching and guiding trophy lake trout. But you know, just talking about the lake trout and the first ice, really the fun time of year that first ice is for so many of us for so many reasons. But in lake trout country, you know, they're a fall spawner. And that first ice is really sort of a continuation of that post-spawn bite where these big fish are really on the feed bag after the spawn. They're super hungry, and Mac talks all about it. But, you know, to me, it's just really a fun conversation, you know, about a really cool place in the world. And Mac's a really cool, fun guy to be around. And, yeah, just a great conversation. So first ice, lake trout with Mac Mulligan on this episode of the JMO Podcast. Mac Mulligan, you're going to have to introduce yourself here a little bit. This is the first time I've had you on, which I'm really excited about. This is going to be a really fun conversation. You're just a super fun guy, and we're going to be talking lake trout and stuff, but before that, talk a little bit about yourself, man. Give me some of the high points of, you know, your career in fishing, where you are from, where you got your start, where some of your, you know, if you have like a home body of water where you cut your teeth, you know, with some of the fishing that really inspired your passion for it to get you where you are today. Kind of give me that little bit of an overview, man. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm Mac Mulligan. Just a few years out of high school, and I've been guiding up at Baker's Narrows Lodge in northern Manitoba for, I think this is going into my fifth year now. I started fishing at a pretty young age, just kind of with family and stuff at just our local lakes in southern Manitoba. I'm originally from Brandon, Manitoba, which is basically an hour north of the border and basically 2 hours straight west of Winnipeg.
And where, like, what would you say are some of like your earliest memories of fishing where you really felt that passion? Like, did you have mentors, like people in your family or you know, that kind of brought you up in it? Or like, was it your buddies? Was it, you know, were you inspired by something you saw on TV? Like, what would you say was some of your early like inspirations, and like, how did that like cultivate you?
I'd say some of my earliest inspirations were definitely like me and my grandfather, who's passed now, definitely spent quite a few days and summers out on the water, mainly just fishing for food more than sport. And then after that, like, I definitely built a passion just from watching, like, some influencers on YouTube and TV shows and stuff like that. And honestly, just kind of catching fish and developing into the angler I am today is honestly just kind of shaped how I am.
Talk to me about that now. Get us up to speed. Where you're at today, and what does that kind of look like? Even if you just kind of look back on, say, the last, like, 2 years of your life, you know, what are some of the high points there that you would, you know, just kind of, that'll help us kind of get the whole picture of where you're at today in your career?
So I first started out guiding up at Baker's Narrows, like me and a buddy straight out of high school. We're actually in grade 10, sent our resumes up there, and the owner Brett got back to us faster than we were expecting. So we kind of stayed in touch with him, and then we both ended up going up there that summer. And then we went back into school in September, worked right through school in grade 11. Like, we just went school straight. And then summer grade 11, we went back up there. And then we actually front loaded all our grade 12 classes into our first semester. So then we went up there for the second half of grade 12, and we guided almost the full winter up there that year. And then he actually branched off and took a different career path, and I stuck with the guiding. And that's kind of what I've been doing since, and just working my way through the roles. And
Talk to me about the fishing up there, man. Like, I mean, from where you're from originally and then going up there, going up north to Baker's Narrows. Talk to me about, you know, just kind of how that the learning curve has been for you as far as the fishing. I mean, what is that? What did you expect it to be like? What has it actually been like? And what would you say have been kind of some of your strengths as far as making the career that you have?
Well, I'd say definitely like everyone you ever talk to that talks about Northern Manitoba, Northern fishing, they always talk about it being crazy and crazy numbers, crazy big fish and stuff. But the reality is like fishing's fishing. It's not always going to be mayhem. It's not always going to be glory days. You still have to work for fish. And down south, like I spent a lot of time like fishing the river banks and stuff like that. A lot of places where you definitely got to put in the time, put in the hours. And I think that that's definitely been beneficial in being in the north, is knowing that patience is key. And it's all like the rewards are all about time. It's all about putting in time and figuring things out.
Right on, man. So then was going up there and guiding on Athapap, was that like... was that some of your first times, first opportunities touching trophy lake trout? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, the first trophy lake trout and trophy pike I ever had my hands on were not fish that I have caught. They've been definitely clients' fish, and I've definitely been honored to caress in my hands on some really, really big fish in the past few years. But it was definitely a bit of a learning curve, too, with, like, how to do things a little bit different and whatnot, and dealing with a lot bigger bodies of water and how to kind of key in on certain factors.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I want to talk about that and always be referencing, you know, your experience, you know, because one of the cool parts about meeting you and fishing with you is that it's cool that you are a young guy, but I tell you what, man, like your experience like really speaks for itself, and you've definitely figured out a way to put in the time. You know, in the last handful of years as a young guy, like there's probably not a ton of guys that have as many hours as you out there. And so that's really what I want to tap into. And, you know, 'tis the season now. It's like first ice season, we'll call it. We're going, you know, getting into this ice season. I want to, you know, talking about this lake trout up in your part of the world, which is just famous for it. But like, you know, for you, talking about learning how to navigate a big body of water, that's one thing in a boat, but like ice fishing where you can only fish them, you know, a 10 inch hole at a time kind of a deal. Like,
yeah.
Talk to me about that. Talk to me about, you know, like as if I'm a person listening that's never done it, but I'm inspired by it and I want to come and do it. Like,
yeah,
almost like a tutorial. Just talk to me about how you built confidence getting out there and what are some of the things that you do that are like the real recipe for success navigating those huge bodies of water up there, you know, to stay on good lake trout fishing.
Yeah. Well, I'd say I have a few tips. Like I'd say my first tip would be like, if you're going to new water with big lake trout and like, that's your target, definitely like utilize your Google satellite views and stuff like that. And really like hone in on certain things like landmarks and stuff you can see in the water. And then like figure out your whole ecosystem, like where everything starts, the bait fish, the plankton, try to figure out the whole food chain and kind of start building your way up from there. Like you got to locate the food source to find the apex predators, you know. It's the same as like deer and wolves. Like the wolves aren't going to be far away from the deer.
Yeah. So sort of walk me through sort of like the baby steps of Athapap, like where you're at. What generally speaking, like big picture view here, like what are the general patterns out there throughout the year? But we'll sort of start and stop that conversation with this time of year. Like give us the whole like 12 months out of the year patterns, like what you feel like they're doing out there, but like this time of year, like what are you really feeling?
So basically the lake trout are going to be the shallowest actively feeding. You'll find them in like the late ice, early open water season when those fish are just getting into the shallows, starting to chase some suckers around, chase some of the ciscos that are pushed shallow. And then as that water warms up, you'll start to see those fish push down a little bit deeper, push off the rocks down onto a little bit more mud, where the bait fish will kind of be down in there rooting around looking for the invertebrates and stuff. And then I'd say towards like late summer, you'll find those fish push down like super, super deep, like well beyond 100 feet of water, a lot of them. And then towards the fall, like they obviously start to come up to spawn once that water gets down to the low 50s. And they're definitely up shallow for a few weeks, but they're not usually actively feeding up shallow. Usually they're just kind of doing their business. You can cast and catch the odd one, but it's definitely not usually crazy. Those fish are more so just defensive as opposed to actually like hungry and attacking. And then this is like usually my favorite time of year, going into early ice season. Once those fish are done spawning, they're just putting on the feed bag. Like they're just looking for the big meals. They're wanting to eat and they're wanting to hunt and search around.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like how you end that right there with kind of that excitement of the new season, that post-spawn deal, because with so many other species, they're spring spawners, right? But like these lake trout, they're fall spawners, and it's kind of an interesting deal where, you know, that's anywhere in lake trout country where there's like a natural spawn. Like it's kind of really, you know, first ice for a lot of people, I think, is probably just really like a fun thing because it's getting into ice fishing and maybe they don't have boat. They don't excitement. Do a lot of, but the excitement around lake trout at first ice is almost twofold, right? Because it's a legitimate pattern that like you would wait all year for when they're putting that feed bag on. Talk to me about like how exciting that is for you. Like you guide these things year round, like every day that you have a client that wants to come and fish these things, you fish lake trout year round. Like where does first ice really stand up for you in terms of like just your own passion and like energy level and excitement level over fishing them? And then kind of talk me through your approach. Like how do you get set up and ready? What are some of the things that you think about as far as preparation and like all the data that you're, you know, bringing into your brain, thinking about where you caught them in the fall? Like bring me through the whole like first ice gamut for you.
All right. So like going into the first ice, I'm definitely keeping in mind like the areas that the fish were up shallow spawning at in the fall. I'm definitely looking at like the primary and secondary kind of structures off of those areas. And honestly, like you're just so filled with excitement to get out there and get back on the hard water, on the ice, and be able to drill holes through thin ice, not through 3 feet of ice, and be able to move around a lot more.
Yeah, dude, I can feel you on that one, because when we come up fishing with you last year, and I mean, as far north as you are, you spend so much of the season drilling with extensions on your augers, or just, you know, you're just like pinning your augers all the way to the bottom, like for so long, you know, like the rest of us here in the Midwest don't even, you know, we know what it's like to buy an extension for our auger, like once every 5 years, but you guys are just like grinding it out throughout the year. So like
definitely
first ice,
over half the year's extension.
That's so crazy. I can totally feel you on the whole first ice excitement where you can actually run and gun and like do the real stuff. But yeah, man, like dig into that with your preparation, like in all your stuff when you're getting geared up, you know, getting your snowmobile all, you know, juiced up, your tackle box, like what does your arsenal kind of look like? What are some of the things that you're looking at and considering like this time of year as you're getting like ramped up, you're getting organized? Like what do you think you're going to get out with first? Like what's going to be your approach? What are going to be some of your presentations? What's your setup going to look like? You know, what are you preparing to be ready for? And that whole bit.
Definitely preparation's key. Like I spend a lot of time focusing on how I'm going to have like everything packed so nothing gets wrecked, because it can be a little bit hard on equipment up here. And definitely planning about like what kind of rods and rigs you're going to be using. Like I'll always have usually a dead bait rod with usually a bigger bait, and usually I usually always have three rods, one big rod with a dead bait, the one big rod with like a bigger tube jig or like a Bondi wobbler, just like a really big rattle bait of some sort. And then I always have one like medium heavy rod that I always have rigged up with like a smaller tube or a smaller rattle bait, something to just get fish to bite.
Right on, man. Like, and when you're going out there and you're like setting your expectation for the day, like this time of year, like these first ice fish, are you just trying to find the aggressive fish and then you move along? Or like, how important are the bite windows? Or like if you're marking fish and they're just not biting, like talk me through some of your decision-making process as far as like when to sit and soak on a spot and when to keep moving. Like what is it that you're looking for? You know, besides big bites, like what is it that you're looking for on a spot that will bring value to you versus when you're there and it you know, whatever, then you just got to keep moving. Talk me through some of that thought process.
So definitely, I'd say like the main thing I look for in a spot is definitely some sort of change, whether that's a substrate change or a depth change or even a water clarity change, a current change. There just has to be some sort of change that goes on to bring fish in there. Like it has to be something different. It can't just like, I mean, mud flats and whatnot can be good too, but I'm just a firm believer in just a change of some sort, like a prominent point, like a little bit of an inlet, some sort of nook. There's got to be something there that to you at least like stands out. So on any spot like that, like I'm obviously always going to look for the aggressive fish first. But I think if you're up fishing for lake trout and you have limited time, it's worth just putting in the time at a spot that you know there's fish around, because there's always going to be a big fish that'll come through there eventually. Like the big fish just cruise around all over the whole lake. Like the best way I could describe it would just be like ants on a sidewalk. Like you just see them kind of going everywhere, no rhyme or rhythm. It's just a matter of like being in the right place at the right time. And if you're up there for a short period of time, you can't be everywhere at once. So all you can do is just kind of throw all your eggs in one basket and just put in the time and hope to get rewarded.
The JMO podcast is sponsored by Long Haul Trucking. Long Haul's always looking for more skilled professional CDL drivers to join their team. They're a people-first company, and it shows. Their employee-owned, asset-based fleet of over 350 Conestogas is among industry leaders in pay and benefits geared towards long-term success and growth for company drivers and owner-operators. If you're a professional driver or a company that wants to ship product with the best in the business, get a hold of Long Haul at 1-800-255-5153 or find them online at longhaultrucking.com. Long Haul, running on the power of promises kept. Yeah, and I think that is super, super solid advice, because if you're not from big lake trout country and you're not used to fishing just giant ocean-sized bodies of water, it's really daunting. It's really hard. And so many of us, like down here, if we're, we fish panfish a lot of times, like not only are we running and gunning on different spots all day, we might fish multiple lakes in a day. It's a totally different deal. And I think, experiencing lake trout fishing the way I have, with the JMO crew, we've traveled around, I've been a videographer on a lot of these shoots, and I'm really obsessed with the lake trout. They've definitely been, like I've said this before, like hands down my favorite trips that I've ever taken have been lake trout trips. I just absolutely love it. And the trip we took up there with you, it just stands out as like a top tier, the years that I've been doing this, it's just so much fun,
such a novelty to see a big fish like that, it's such a unique opportunity. It's such a privilege.
Yeah. It's just such a crazy deal, because realistically, when you catch a trophy fish that is, say, whatever, like 40 inches or more, that's just a huge number. They don't have to be that big to still be a trophy, but that's like a benchmark size, right, up in your part of the world. That fish is probably twice as old as me, It's so crazy to imagine that. And so it's really fascinating to me. But, like you say, like, really good advice. If you're up there and you're not sure what to do and you've got maybe 2 days of fishing, and sometimes, talk about the weather, like up in that part of the world, sometimes you might plan on, being up there for 4 days of fishing, but the weather only lets you fish the spots you want to fish for 2 days because the weather
can definitely be a nuisance. But I'd say like the nice thing about the winter, at least, is no matter the wind or the snow or the temperature, whatever, you can always get out there and you can always set up. It's not like you have to sit out there in crazy waves and get beat around. You can at least just get a tent down and peg it down good and set up camp kind of.
And definitely practice doing that. If you're thinking about it, like going up there for the first time, don't like buy a bunch of gear that you've never used before and then bring it up there. Right. Talk to me about that, man. You've guided, I don't want you to like talk about any of your clients, in that kind of way, but just talk to me about some of the things that you see, some of the conversations that you typically have with clients that are, say, first timers, or maybe they're just, they're just not super versed in lake trout fishing, so they hire you. Obviously, we recommend that completely. Yeah. But like, talk to me about some of those conversations.
Well, I definitely do. Like, I mean, I obviously get questioned a lot about like ice conditions and whatnot. And I mean, like, by all means, like it's usually always good, but it's definitely good to get the local knowledge and the intel of the guides in the area. And like for the people that are new to the area and obviously just like definitely want higher success rates, I definitely recommend looking into a guiding service of some sort. But there's definitely like there's just so much like so much that can like so many variables, but like the main thing is definitely safety. It's always about keeping everyone safe. Like if you're not comfortable, not confident, definitely like let people know, like always let people know where you're going and when you're going to be back and stuff like that. It's all about safety up there. Stuff can go wrong and you're far out. It's cold. It cannot end well at times.
Oh yeah. 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 Have a GPS on you and all that stuff, but like yeah. Bring in stuff and gear. Let's get into some of the gear and stuff, like your rod and reel setup, your line selection. Talk about, you know, how important it is to have the right stuff, you know, when you go up there and why, you know, some of the experiences that you've had that have brought you to this point where, you know, you kind of have your opinions on your stuff, man. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, with the lake trout, like we mentioned earlier, like how it's such a novelty, such a privilege to get a big fish, right? So you definitely want to be very conscious of your equipment. You don't want to jeopardize the opportunity, right? Like if the opportunity comes to you, like you want to be ready and you want to have your ducks in a row. You want to have 100% confidence in all your knots, all your lines. So like I am always running at least 20 pound braid and usually always 20 pound fluorocarbon. And I'm usually always using like a size 2500 spinning reel and usually always on a nice, like a good solid rod, usually with a long handle. I like a 42 to 48 inch rod for ice fishing for lake trout. The longer rod gives you a little bit more leverage.
Talk to me about your rods, man. Like, are they still producing them rods that have your name on them? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So like I, worked with a company last year to help design a couple rods for lake trout fishing specifically. And, like, that's exactly what we focus on. We focus on like the little bit longer rod, the longer handle for a lot more leverage on those bigger fish. Cause like fighting a big lake trout, like depending how it's hooked and what exactly is going on in the situation, it can take like close to probably 15, 20 minutes. And people don't realize how long that actually is while keeping a rod bent and having a, like a cork handle corked right under your arm. It's definitely important to have a good handle. Cause like you'll see a lot of ice rods, they always just got this short stubby handle. And honestly, like that doesn't do anything for you when you're fighting a big fish like that.
Like you say, when you get that opportunity, if you compromise on anything, like try not to compromise on the things that really matter to get that fish like topside in an efficient exactly. And like ethical manner. Like yeah. Have the right line setups, practice your knots, you know, yeah. I mean, and for you, you know, even some of the real technical stuff, man, when you talk about your baits, what size baits do you like to use or like what's the spectrum of baits that you like to use in regards to their size, you know, kind of the color, talk about cadence and how you like to fish them. Do you always have a swivel connecting your main line to your leader? Like talk about some of that stuff.
Yeah. So I'd say in the deeper water, definitely like I always usually run a barrel swivel of some sort, just because you definitely do get a lot of line twists with like the constant reeling up and dropping down. And with the lake trout, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of reeling up and dropping down. It's a lot of trying to evade that fish. Like you got to think a fleeing bait fish is fleeing for a reason. It's always trying to escape. It's trying to get away. If you ever see a walleye chasing minnows on a camera or just straight down over the side of a dock, like those minnows are swimming away. They're never stopping and going to it. Like a lot of people have this concept that, that like their bait needs to go to the fish, that like, and that's the opposite. You need to pull it away from the fish 9 times out of 10. The odd time laying it on the bottom, just bumping the mud can be beneficial. But most of those times the fish want to chase it. Like the fish's eyes are on the top of their heads and they're like that for a reason.
Yeah. I think that those are just such solid points to remember because it's like, yeah, like you got to have your plan set in place. You got to do your research and have everything set in stone because when you get out there, it is a grind. You know, it's not like it's not going to be guaranteed easy. And so when you have the right thing in place and you sit down and you do all these things right for long enough, that's what's going to give you the best chance over time of being successful, man. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. What What are some of the popular things in your mind? Like, what are some of the cool things in the lake trout world going on right now? What are some of the conversations you've had recently or anything at all? Questions you get on social media about, you know, fishing lake trout. What have been some of your, like, some of your favorite conversations you've had in recent memory?
I'd say a very important thing about the ice fishing side of things is definitely some of the mapping that we do in the summer. Like us guides up there, we spend a lot of hours out there mapping and exploring new water, charting everything out. And that definitely gives you a huge, huge upper hand in the winter. And you got to keep that in mind too. Like when we're taking out, like we're not taking out to the spots we were at yesterday. We're not taking out to spots we've been fishing every single day. We're taking out to new spots almost every single day. Almost every single day we're going out to new spots. Like, don't get me wrong, we'll hit spots we've hit already that year, but like we plan everything out, so everything has a very, very long rest period, like as long a rest periods as we possibly can. So at each spot has a lot of time to recuperate and regenerate.
Man, I think that is such a high value, man. We felt it when we were up there fishing with you. Like, I mean, we fish a lot, you know, our crew, as far as filming, you know, we go a lot of places and we see a lot of cool stuff. And when we go up there to northern Manitoba fishing with you on just such a huge body of water, it's really humbling, for one, to just be out in the middle of the ocean, but to see you have the technology and know how to use it and to put us on such high percentage spots. And yet it does feel nice in lake trout fishing anyways. It feels nice to kind of to fish new structure or to fish a new spot or spot that hasn't been hit in a while, because it kind of has that new car smell to it. And the chance of like that big fish to kind of, you know, like you said, they're just kind of aimlessly swimming out there, but these spots will recharge. I mean, for you, how long do you like to give a spot? Like, you know, and this could, I realize the answer probably varies spot to spot. Some bigger spots probably recharge a little bit better, but talk to me about some of your favorite spots. You know, if you could just narrow it down in your head to some of your favorite spots out there, on Athapap where you're at, like how long do you like to give some of those better spots as far as recharging with, you know, fish in general? But also some of those bigger fish, like what are some of the patterns that you see? Like, how much time does it take for them to move in and move out?
Well, I definitely find like on like the bigger structures, like the super, super long structures, like those fish will just kind of follow contours, it seems like. So it can definitely take a lot longer for the fish to get to you, but you can also have like multiple big fish days and stuff like that on certain spots. And certain spots like that, I would say your recovery time is a lot quicker because those fish are constantly like cycling through, like they're circling a huge, huge structure. Like this structure might be 2 miles long or whatever, you know? So these fish are constantly moving up and down it. So you're getting new fish almost constantly, but still like the fish obviously kind of learn and steer clear of certain areas after they've been pressured pretty hard. But I'd say on the smaller structures, definitely you can get more active fish if you let stuff recover, if you give stuff breaks. Because, like, I've seen it before, like, where people are like, oh, yeah, like, we were up here last week, so we're going to go to the same spot again. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know, like, you were just there last week. You know, it might not be that productive. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But it's something that I always keep in mind and in my judgment when taking out clients, because I want them to have the best chance at big fish and the best chance at catching fish. So I always try to put them on the highest percentage, most fresh spots I possibly can.
If I was going to come up and be your next client, what could I do? What could I do in preparation to be your favorite client? Like, what would you say would be your prototypical client? You know, somebody that does what they're told, somebody that has a positive attitude. But as far as, you know, getting your stuff right and tight, like, what are some of your the things that are your favorite that you just know today's going to be a good day when you see your clients are ready with this?
I'd say definitely like a huge thing, like something that makes me excited for the day. Not that I'm not always excited for the day, but something that definitely heightens the excitement and the mood for the day is definitely seeing like clients be prepared and done a bit of their homework, at least, you know, like whether that's reaching out to myself or kind of contacting the lodge, but just kind of dipping their toes in that a little bit. So they're not kind of in the dark, like everything's new to them. So they have an idea of like the equipment exactly, like, and what's best at the time, and are definitely, like, I'd say the main thing is definitely just someone who's, like, expectations are realistic. Like, I always tell people, like, people always come, like I said earlier, people have this thought that the North is always crazy, 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 right? So people are like, oh, yeah, like, we want to get, like, 40 lake trout today, and if it'd be nice if we get, like, 10 big ones or whatever. And, you know, like, I always tell people, like, you can ask most of my clients, I almost always tell them, you know what, guys, the fishing's tough right now, but we're gonna work away at it and see what we can do. Because the thing is, if people have expectation that it might be tough, anything that comes from that is always beyond the moon to them, you know? Like, if you come up expecting to just bash them and just do crazy, and it's not crazy, then you're let down, right? But if you come up with the expectation, we're gonna try our best and have the best chance we can at big fish, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's fishing, right? And fishing's always a bit of a gamble, no matter what way you look at it.
Yeah, man. Setting people's expectations. That's got to be one of the toughest things to do properly when you're in the outfitting business. It's just, it's always a trick, and everybody comes from different experiences. But no, I think that is those are strong words, man. Those are strong words, and definitely having a proper expectation is super important. And, you know, for you, like, this time of year, this, like, first ice time of year with your clients, walk me through kind of, like, what a day of fishing is like with you, just for that person that might be thinking about coming up there. Like, you know, what time in the morning you get up? Like, is that morning bite always super important? You're out there all day. Like, what's it like to go fishing at Baker's Narrows Lodge with Mac Mulligan guiding you?
So I'd say, like, your average day up north is like up north fishing with us up at the lodge there. We're usually always leaving around 8 o'clock. Like, we have staff breakfast at 7, and guests are welcome to come at 7 as well for the breakfast and stuff. But we usually always leave at 8, and we're usually always back at 6. Like, it's a 10-hour day, travel's included, and kind of travel depends on how far we're going and whatnot. But I'd say, like, the key times for the day is, like, And like, it may vary too, like, later in the year, like in March and April, like, when the days are longer, like, when you have those 14-hour days, 15-hour days of light, you can kind of push your day back a bit. Like, you can leave at 10 or 11 and stay out there a little bit later, you know? But the main thing I always try to keep in mind and keep conscious of is, like the moonrise and moonset. I firmly believe that those definitely have a strong factor in, like, the lake trout behavior and lake trout activity. I definitely noticed there's a peak around those times, and I've definitely heard this from other guides in the area as well, and at other outfits. So I definitely try to keep that in mind.
If you have any fishing memory that you would like to commemorate, or have questions about commemorating a fishing memory with a replica made of any fish that has ever graced your net, get in touch with Rizavi Fish Replicas, owned and operated by Jamie Rizavi over in New Rockford, North Dakota, at Rizavi Taxidermy Studio. You can find them online at rizavitaxidermystudio.com, or find them on Facebook at Rizavi Taxidermy Studio. You can see the pictures. Here at the JMO headquarters in Devil's Lake, we have some phenomenal replicas made by Jamie and his crew hanging on our walls, which we absolutely love. They look absolutely perfect, just like the fish that were reeled in that day. And every chance we get to go in and admire them and tell those stories and share those stories with each other, we absolutely do. Again, if you have any questions about getting a fish replica made to commemorate any great trophy memory you have of fishing, get in touch with Jamie Rizavi at Rizavi Fish Replicas. You won't be disappointed. Just to sort of remind myself and remind everybody, like, we're talking lake trout here because, man, you guys are just famous for that up there. But you've also got trophy northern pike. There's big walleye swimming around not far away. You've got stock trout. Maybe kind of real quickly run me through the gamut of what you guys offer there, and, like, what the area offers there besides just the monster lake trout.
Yeah, so, like, up, like, where we're located up there at Baker's, honestly, like, you're just surrounded. Like, it's literally just God's country. Like, you have almost more water up there than you do mainland. They're just, like, the fishing opportunities are just endless. Like, so many lakes in the area with, like, crazy, crazy numbers of walleye. We have guiding rights on a few of those lakes. And, like, there's huge, huge pike in almost every single lake up in the area. And we do a lot of big pike guiding, as well as some walleye on Athpap itself. But there is also some other super, super highly talked about, and you'll see them on a lot of social media, stock trout lakes up in the area. Like there's Footprint, which isn't too, too far away. And then there's Barbie Lake, and there's a few other smaller lakes in the area. Even on the Saskatchewan side, there's a few as well. We don't have guiding rights to all those lakes, but we do for a couple of them. And we definitely do offer excursions onto those lakes as well.
Yeah, man. No, I think that's it. You said it best right there. It's God's country up there, man. It's like it's so cool up there. I couldn't promote it or express enough how cool it is. If it's a bucket list place to go, but when you plan on just doing it one time and it's gonna be a dream trip, you go up there and then you realize, well, you're gonna have to save up and keep going because it's so cool, so much fun up there, man. It's really, really cool, man. Well, I tell you what, we've got this. We can wrap this up however we want. Anything that you can think of along the lines of the lake trout fishing that we've talked about. I really love that recipe for success that we've expressed here. It's awesome and good information. But anything else you can think of? Otherwise, I would say just, you know, if anybody has any questions, man, how can they find you, you know, promote your socials or whatever, whatever you got.
If you guys like have any questions for me, definitely reach out on social media, like Instagram or Facebook. I'm usually pretty active on there. Just Mac Mulligan. If you search me up on either one, it should come up. Like honestly, I'd say like you described it best, like that one day out in the boat there with your dad, when you're out there with me. He said, you're just looking around at the trees and you're like, this just makes me feel like I just jumped in the TV when I was 8 years old, sitting on the couch watching.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, totally. It's like literally fishing in a postcard. You're just like fishing in a magazine. Exactly. You know, it's just crazy to be up there where you're at, man. It's so, so true. The stories go on and on too, man. Oh my gosh. Like, we filmed an awesome show. Go to YouTube and find that on Jason Mitchell Outdoors Television YouTube page. We went lake trout fishing up there last year, and it was an epic trip, epic grind, a total we had so many ups and downs, and just like, and we really appreciated the downs when things were going good, and it was just awesome. Like, there wasn't a second that went by that we weren't just pinching ourselves as to what we were doing in real life. And then to cap it all off, spoiler alert, we caught one of the guys in the crew caught an epically humongous trophy lake trout. Yeah. And just an awesome deal. And it was a total success. Caught that fish, you know, in the ninth hour. It was like overtime for the trip itself. And we got great footage of it. And the fish released so well. It was just super epic. And yeah, man. So couldn't say it enough. Thank you so much for the time, Mac. Man, I appreciate it. I know you're way, way up there, and it's tough to always have reception and always have time doing whatever, but...
Well, I feel like I should just definitely put, like, emphasis, like, on when you're up lake trout fishing, like, just lake trout fishing in general. You definitely, like, as, like, this kind of falls into the expectations category, I'd say, like, where you, like, it's a grind regardless. Like, it's all about time. It's all about just being out there, putting in the time. It's just like hunting. It's just putting in the time for that trophy animal, whereas this is a trophy fish, right? It's all about putting in the time. And like you said, like last year on the ice, we had the highs and we had the lows. And that's the thing with lake trout fishing, is you're going to have these highs and you're going to have the lows. And you just have to go into it with that level mind. Just, I'm ready to do this today.
Yeah. And I would throw my two cents in there too. I'll probably put this in the intro. But when you're planning a trip like this and you're going to get together with your buddies, pick your buddies wisely, because you're going to be trapped in an ice shack, you know, with not a whole lot of amenities between you, and you're going to be jigging, and it's going to be tough. There's going to be hours where you don't see nothing on the screen, and there's going to be like, you just, when the lows are getting low, or somebody dumps a fish and it felt like a nice one, whatever it is, you got to have the right buddies there. You got to, you know, I think that's one thing for me. Somebody that's a consumer that's always looks at these trips as like, you know, something like that. It's like something that I would just dream to do. Make sure you got, you know, you got that right crew with you to ride those, ride the tough times out. Because when you are hoisting trophies, when you are, you know, when it is, when everything is coming together and it's awesome, it's like, that's who you want to share that time with for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, my old man definitely says hi. He misses you a bunch. He wishes we could just a seasonal cabin up there and just be up there all the time. But we'll see each other again, all right, man? And I'll be in touch with you when we launch this sucker. I'll send you the link so you can listen to it.
For sure. I'd appreciate that, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, talk to you later. You and the family, take care.
Laters.